Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
All right, and welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry. I am Kai Chen Chisholm. This is not Alfredo Arteaga. This is not Simon Clancy. And this is not Chris Kaufman, or as I like to call him, Christ. It is Kai Chen Chisholm. Joining me, of course, is Merrick Brave and Joshua Houts. We'll be taking over for 3YPC for the month of June. Before I get into anything, I just want to give a huge shout out to the guys for enlisting trust in me to kind of try to steer the ship again for another year while they go and take a much, much deserved break during the month of June and kind of give the reins over to us. Different crew this time, but we're still going to try to give you the best product as we possibly can and have a great month of June. Before we get into anything, before I let them give them their thoughts, opinions, and let them introduce themselves to anyone who doesn't know them already, remember, as always, we're sponsored by Prize Picks. You can use the code 5, that is F-I-V-E 5, at Prize Picks. Deposit $100 and they give you $100. A one-time rollover, you got to bet once. That's it, just bet once. So remember to go to Prize Picks and use the code 5, that is F-I-V-E. And also, Better Edge, that is BETTOREDGE.com/5reasons. And you can get $20 just for signing up. I mean, this is free money. Got to go ahead and do it. Merrick, do you want to kind of give a little bit of an intro and kind of let the people know who you are for those who don't?
Yeah, of course. I also want to thank Chris, Alf, and Simon for allowing me to be a part of this podcast. Been a fan for a long time. Been listening for years now. So happy to be guest hosting alongside you two fine gents. Kai said, you can find me on Twitter at mbrave13. You can also find my work on thefinsider.com, P-H-I-N-S-I-D-E-R. And on YouTube, Dolphins Detail, along with Jake Mendel, and sometimes on another Dolphins podcast, Wednesdays with Merrick, alongside Houts and Jake as well.
Joshua?
Yeah, I think you both pretty much stole what I wanted to say. I just wanted to thank Simon, Alf, and CK for giving us this chance and to be able to come on here and talk about the Miami Dolphins with you guys. So like Kai said, follow me on Twitter at Houts. Merrick pretty much plugged everything else, so you can go check that stuff out
too. Oh, shoot. I was going to talk about my wrestling stuff too, but I completely forgot. So maybe we'll save that for another time.
Bring it up.
I was just going to say, if any listeners out there are wrestling fans, I've been a professional wrestler for 20 years, and I run a professional wrestling school alongside somebody you might have heard of, Seth Rollins of WWE, World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins of WWE. So if you're a wrestling fan, check us out at Black and Brave on Twitter as well.
Finally, I know everyone has their own opinions on wrestling here. I'm trying to stay in my own little world, but all I'm going to say is, finally there's a champion on the Raw brand. But anyways, if you don't follow wrestling, we won't get into it. But
let's do the whole episode on wrestling. Oh, Kai. Let's really throw a curveball at these guys.
Trust me, we really could. so just one last little thing. I know the thank yous and everything. Everyone wants to get into football. For me personally, as someone who kind of stopped doing a lot of audio stuff and stopped doing a lot of kind of sports things and just kind of took a step back, It means a lot for me personally that the three guys would kind of bring me back and be able to do this again. So it's really nice to sit down and record. I haven't done it in quite some time, so it's good to be back. But gentlemen, we have not like too much to talk about the Dolphins. Like, there are things happening, you know, practices now are starting to, you know, go through. We're starting to get, you know, where we're going to do joint practices during the preseason. But one thing that I kind of mentioned to you guys today that I think is really good to bring up, and House, I'll let you go first on this one. The Miami sports fandom right now, and I'm bringing in the Florida Panthers to Miami. I know they play in Broward County, and it's a completely different thing, but I'm bringing them in to this kind of topic of conversation. Miami sports is going very crazy right now. And what do you think the Dolphins have to do to match that energy? What do you think during the summer and just kind of during the season that they need to do? Because the Heat are in the finals, the Panthers are in the Stanley Cup finals, and both teams could have a really good chance to win the whole thing. What do the Dolphins need to do to match that?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being cliche, they need to stay healthy, right? I mean, this is probably the most talented roster that we've seen on paper. And, oh, man, Kai, you're young. It's probably been your whole life since you've seen a team like this. But they just need to stay healthy and go out there and live up to the potential is what I would say. But, you know, in years past, I might have been that guy, that angry Dolphins fan that might be rooting against some of the South Florida sports teams, you know, feeling a bit jealous. I completely feel differently now that I'm older. I was sitting there rooting for the Heat last night, actually turned on that Florida Panthers game. I think it was the fourth overtime. A little bit scared to tweet out that I was watching it because I thought maybe I'd be the one that, you know, jinxed them, and they ended up losing that game, but they ended up winning. So I love what's going on down there in South Florida. I guess just me being superstitious, part of me wonders, is God going to let the Miami Dolphins also join in on that success, right? The Miami Heat are now in the finals. The Florida Panthers are headed to the Stanley Cup. You know, are they going to let the Dolphins go out there, win a playoff game for once, you know, maybe compete for the Lombardi Trophy? I don't know. But I think honestly, what they need to do is just build upon what they did last season, live up to that potential, and ultimately stay healthy. Because we can sit here and talk about it till we're blue in the face, but if number one QB1 doesn't stay healthy, goes out for any period of time, you know, that can be the dagger in the Dolphins season. So that would be my answer. What about you, Merrick?
Let us pray. Let us pray. Actually, yeah, I sit here in my home in Davenport, Iowa, wearing a throwback Miami Heat jersey today in honor of their Game 7 victory over the Boston Celtics, because, you know, we're on 3YPC. We can cuss now, but fuck Boston and fuck all things Boston. I hate Boston. Welcome. I hate the Patriots. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Celtics. I don't really watch hockey, but we're going to say fuck the Bruins too, because let's go Miami. I got a number 33 throwback Alonzo Mourning jersey on right now that I got in 1998, 25 years ago. But in the 90s, Josh, I'll remember, Kai, you're a little too young for this, but in the 90s, we wore our clothes super baggy, super, super baggy. So my 12-year-old body was wearing this baggy Alonzo Mourning jersey, and now my damn near 37-year-old body can still fit in this thing. But Josh, you stole my answer. This team needs to stay healthy. I mean, not just Tua, but that entire secondary was ravaged last year. So you bring in Jalen Ramsey, you know, you're banking on the development of Kader Kohou, and you're banking on guys like Xavien Howard to stay healthy. He had a couple of groin injuries last year. He's getting up there in age, and you know, speaking from experience, as you get older, those injuries start to pile up. So hopefully he can avoid the injury bug this season and the rest of that secondary can stay healthy. Because like you said, Josh, this is the most talented Miami Dolphins roster in my lifetime as well. And you know, I was around for the last, you know, 8 or 9 years of the Dan Marino era, at least as a fan. I became a fan in 1991. So expectations are really, really high. And if the Dolphins can follow in the footsteps of the Miami Heat, of the Florida Panthers, and shoot, you can even go back to like the Miami Hurricanes college basketball team, men's basketball team, making the Final Four there. If the Dolphins can follow those footsteps, I think we're in for a very exciting time as Dolphins fans.
You mentioned the Miami Hurricanes, and it made me so sad. As a Florida Gators fan, I could never acknowledge the Miami Hurricanes. It pains me to do so. I mean, I think I agree with you guys with staying healthy. I think one of the most prevalent and important things that the Dolphins are going to face, besides the injury factor and the fact that we did have, I mean, you mentioned it, the secondary, how it's mentioned it with, you know, QB1. Obviously, there are things there that just need to be tightened up. And I've had my own thoughts on how injuries have happened with the Dolphins and fitness and everything like that. But we could go on for probably 2 hours about fitness stuff, and we don't want to tear anybody down specifically. But I think consistency is key. And I think that the Dolphins' issue last year, besides injuries and besides certain things, was just that one game, you're going to get a certain Miami Dolphin. The next game, you weren't going to get that same Miami Dolphin. And it seemed like for the first stretch before that San Francisco game, that you were like, okay, you know, the defense might falter, but the offense is putting up points. Like the Bears game is a perfect example. We might be down, but damn, now we have an offense that can put up points. Now we have an offense that can actually be there and give us something substantial. Then it just kind of turned into, all right, well, what are we going to get today? And obviously injuries did, you know, play a big factor into it, but it was like, are we going to get this team that's undisciplined with penalties? Are we going to get this team that's holding on every single play, that's having illegal men downfield on almost, I feel like, every single offensive play? It felt like we were getting called for that consistently. Or are we going to have the team that's buttoned up? Are we going to have the team that's not going to have all these constant penalties, that's going to keep the game together? The biggest issue that Dolphins have faced, and I mean, this has been obviously, yeah, you guys said I'm young, you know, I'm only 25 years old. So all I've witnessed with the Dolphins is losing anyways, but it's always consistency. I feel like besides the injury factor, it's just that one game you're going to get this Dolphin team, the next game you're going to get a different Dolphin team. And it's never there. I mean, one game last year specifically, you know, we have the running game, it's going, and it seems like, all right, this guy that we hired to be our head coach is the running game coordinator, is going to put the impact on running. And then the next game we're passing the ball 40, 50 times. I would just like to see a consistent team. I think if we can get some consistency, both on offense and defense, that we'll be able to hit that. And one of the main factors with that consistency, I feel like that we'll be able to see this season, is we do have a new defensive coordinator in Vic Fangio.
Yes, Merrick, sir.
What are your thoughts on what he brings to the table? Just obviously from what we know of Vic Fangio to be, but can he kind of hone in that defense and kind of, you know, fix a few of the minor issues that we do have?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Vic Fangio, people are kind of underrating that hire this offseason. You know, like, you got the flashy trade for Jalen Ramsey, and you know, a lot of people are really, really high on Devon Achane on that offense, but you got to look at the defensive side of the football. That's where the team was being let down last season. So Vic Fangio, one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the history of the game. Every stop he's been to, he has turned around the defenses that he's been in charge of. And I think you're going to see the same thing in Miami. I think you're going to see him, you know, pay attention to the details. I think you're going to see a coach that Mike McDaniel can lean on. You know, Vic Fangio, head coaching experience, you know, it wasn't the best record that he had in Denver, but he does have that experience. He's been in the league for almost 40 years. So Mike McDaniel can lean on Vic Fangio for some of the things that he needs to clean up as a head coach. But as far as the defense goes, this is going to be a much improved defense under the tutelage of Vic Fangio. And with those new additions in Jalen Ramsey and David Long, I think this is going to be a defense that shoots up the rankings. You're talking top 10 defense, maybe even top 5 defense, you know, if this team can stay healthy, like we talked about earlier.
You brought up really quick, House, just because he brought up a great point in kind of honing in by McDaniel, and I'll let you kind of speak on the Vic Fangio thing, but I do want to get kind of pivot very, very slightly before that, just because with the Mike McDaniel, and he mentioned, you know, kind of having someone there that he can lean on. I completely forgot about that in terms of the consistency part, because I mean, damn, it challenges, timeouts, like that was a big thing, you know, having that inexperienced coach. As much as I stand for him after we let go of Brian Flores, he was a big part of that consistency, whether it was play calling or timeouts or challenges. I mean, he really did kind of have an effect on that. Do you think, and also obviously touch on the Vic Fangio, do you think that Big Mike is going to be able to kind of hone those in this season and be able to kind of bring back some consistency to, you know, being able to have that experience now?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, you guys both nailed everything with the Vic Fangio signing. I do think that was the biggest signing for this defense. I think he's going to work wonders for some of those young players. But one of the things that really stood out to me was Mike McDaniel even said this all season. You know, there were times I went back and looked at things I could have done differently. Kai, you mentioned the run game. There were times when it felt like it was working and the Dolphins just decided to abandon it late in a game. And, you know, that ultimately was the Achilles heel. So I do think he's going to, he looked himself in the mirror this past offseason. He's going to come back firing, realizing, you know, what mistakes he made. And we always talk about iron sharpening iron. I mean, back to the Vic Fangio thing, you're going against that defense every day in practice. I mean, you're not going to see many defenses throughout the NFL that are throwing better things at you each and every day, like he's going to see, you know, every day in practice. So I do think Mike McDaniel can get that all under control. I hope, you know, there were times I think timeouts and challenges and things like that, he was just off. But we got to remember, you mentioned being a run game coordinator. This was his first time ever calling plays. This was his first time as a head coach. He had a lot on his plate last year, and the Dolphins played pretty damn well throughout different stretches of the season. So I think with now Vic Fangio, that head coach on defense, now Mike McDaniel going into a second season, the different pieces they brought in, I think a lot of that's going to come together. And you pretty much nailed everything I had written down, Kai. But the one thing we do have to mention is that offensive line is going to be, you know, could make or break this year. And I mean, you mentioned injuries. We all did. That still, to me, is the thing that stands out as something that could make or break the Miami Dolphins season. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
It's going to hurt us. I mean, I'm one that personally believes, again, without trying to be too harsh, I know that certain things can happen in everything. You can build an offensive line. You can build it in a certain mold. You can have your idea before you get onto the field, and you can have your idea before pads start, before we get to see what everything actually is. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. And you can blame that on scouting. You can blame that on the front office with GM, the president of football operations, vice president of football, whoever you want to blame. I think that sometimes you have a plan, you set that out there, and then sometimes even injuries can just kind of derail it. The biggest thing with our offensive line, and I think that it might be, I don't think at this point, actually, I don't even think it's harsh, because we, how many years have we been saying, oh, the Miami Dolphins offensive line? I mean, the year that we, Jay Ajayi was running for 200 yards in what, three or four separate games. If we had a good offensive line, you know, maybe Tannehill doesn't get killed as much. I mean, he was getting sacked like crazy just in general, whether that season or seasons prior. And even now with Tua, you know, if we have offense, you could go on and on and on. I think the biggest thing is you drafted guys and you put guys in positions where you're trying to put them into some, I would say, positions of power, or you're saying these are the guys that we're going to trust. And yet those guys are failing you. Guys like Liam Eichenberg, guys like Austin Jackson, they're not giving you what you were expecting out of them. And I think that just hurts. No matter, it doesn't matter who you sign at this point, because in my personal opinion, I think at least, because we're just being left out to dry on the offensive line. Once one guy goes down, it doesn't feel like there's even a quality backup that you're like, ah, you know what? We can get through two or three games with this guy. It just doesn't, there's not that feeling. Those guys,
how do you guys feel about the Isaiah Wynn signing though? Do you feel like he can help in either of those spots?
He has injury issues or right too.
Tackle?
That's the only
thing. He sure
thing.
Does. He sure does. I'm yeah, intrigued. Definitely. You know, even if he is signed just to be the backup to Teron Armstead at left tackle, because let's face it, Isaiah Wynn's best tape comes at left tackle. He was relatively abysmal at right tackle. So people who are hoping that he takes over for Austin Jackson, you might want to place your hope elsewhere along that offensive line. But even if Isaiah Wynn was signed just to be the backup to Teron Armstead at left tackle, he's going to see the field plenty, because Teron Armstead has injury issues of his own, and he's going to miss a handful of games this upcoming season. I hope he does. I hope he doesn't. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, don't put knock the jinx on, wood. On us. Yeah, for real.
I don't even know if I'm jinxing it. I think that's just who he is as a human given. Being. He's fragile. He's made of glass. It's some tough glass, because when he gets out there, he kicks ass. He performs well. But, you know, judging by his past injury history, he's going to miss a handful of games this upcoming year. And I do feel more confident in Isaiah Wynn as the backup left tackle and the swing tackle than I do if that position is left to Austin Jackson. You know, if Isaiah Wynn's not on this team and Teron Armstead gets injured and they take Austin Jackson from right tackle, move him to left tackle, I feel a little bit more confident that Isaiah Wynn can man that backup left tackle role instead of turning it over to Austin Jackson, because he's been a turnstile at the left tackle spot his entire career.
Man, we are on different sides of Dolphins Twitter. I'll tell you what. I swear there's
he looked
not
really
single...
nice though, right? He looked really nice in camp. Everyone was gushing about how he looked like a, you know, a Marvel character, and they just think he's gonna eventually be, he's just gonna show up and be able to block all of a sudden.
The practices is like the, I can't remember the term right now off the top of my head, it's escaping me, but that song and dance of practice, and you know, oh man, this person looks great, that person looks great. I mean, there two years ago, I believe at this time, I can't remember his name either, punter that we had before this past season, where it was like, wow, dude's doing great. Me and Alf are sitting there, we're talking about it, like, he's doing great, punts are great, this is going to be really good, we're going to have a good guy. Absolute horrendous. I mean, just could not do anything. Last year was like the biggest revelation because we finally had a punter, and now that punter is with the Jets again.
Oh, I think they are they going to let him go?
I think they might,
just, because they just tried out Ariza, right?
Yeah, that's messed
that's
up.
That's a whole other can to open, because that, you know, everything is crazy with Ariza. But yeah, you know, when you're in practice, you can look fantastic, but then once the real game starts, once the real speed starts, that's where you see kind of who's a guy and who isn't. And it feels like we as Dolphin fans love to go and we're looking at these guys and like, wow, this dude gained so much weight, you know, he's got all this muscle, he's gonna kill it. And then week one starts and Tua's on the ground and you're like, wow, this guy's the same guy.
So Kai, are you saying you'd prefer Isaiah Wynn at right tackle over Austin Jackson right now?
I mean, you made
it... anything. It sounds like,
well, yeah, like I, and you know, that's not, I'm not trying to set you up or take a shot or anything. Yeah, I just want your opinion, because a lot of Dolphins fans would say the same, but I think a lot of Dolphins fans are just ready to roll with anyone but Austin Jackson. But when you take a look at Isaiah Wynn's tape last year at the right tackle position for the New England Patriots, he was bad. He was just as bad as Austin Jackson was. Yeah. So if you're signing Wynn in hopes that he can take over the right tackle position, I don't know if you're going to be happy with those results.
I think that the biggest issue is that instead of signing a right tackle, we keep signing left guards and left tackles to try to be right tackles.
Maybe we just run the ball left then.
I feel like that's what we, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, we keep signing left tackles and asking them to, or guards and asking them to play on the opposite side and, or asking them to play tackle. I mean, we are drafting, you know, guys that usually play on the guard, you know, the right side of the guard, that we're asking, oh, you know what, go play left, or we're asking left, oh, you know what, go play right. And then we're asking tackles, oh, you know, you played left tackle and you were pretty serviceable there, so we're going to put you at right tackle. And then when you fail, we're just going to be like, ah, you know, it is what it is. And I think that that is just completely crazy. We're going to hit a break really quick, and we're going to come back. When we come back, we'll talk about a interesting point that I want to make about, because we didn't dive in too much into some PR stuff with the Dolphins and kind of certain things that I would like to dive into and ask a few questions of. So we're going to hit a break really quick, and then we'll be right back.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so Premier Kitchen, Bath, and Laundry Cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. I always find it super cool that Jalen Phillips kind of throws it back there and that recording was had. I don't know. It's just certain things. I know you're supposed to be journalism. You're supposed to have all these things, but sometimes, you know, it's cool to just have that kind of little audio thing in there. Before we get into it, what are you guys' take on that? Like, just the fact that, you know, every time that you listen to a 3YPC episode, you get Jalen Phillips throwing it back to you.
Dude, the first time they rolled that out, the first time you heard Jalen Phillips on the pod, I was like really stoked about it. Like, Jalen Phillips is cool. He seems like a cool dude. He's uber jacked. We saw that picture that was put out last week by the Dolphins. I think he's got 137 abs. I counted. That's a new world record. So we're actually already leading the league in abs for our defensive end. So real excited about that. But yeah, no, Jalen Phillips, man, what a stud. Get in on him now, man. The defensive player of the year. Is it coming? Is it coming? What do you guys think?
I hope so. I popped so hard when I first heard that. I don't know if Kai remembers, but I did a pod with him where we were doing a mock draft, and I think I wanted Micah Parsons for the Dolphins, but I ended up taking Jalen Phillips, and that was before he was even drafted. I mean, this is a guy who I absolutely adore. He reminds me of a champ. I always make that Pokemon reference, and we all saw that picture. We all saw that picture last week. This dude is just, a stud. So the fact that they have him sitting there throwing it back, I mean, this guy, like Merrick said, defensive player of the year potentially at some point. Already should put his jersey up in the Ring of Honor. I mean, he's going to be a great for the Miami Dolphin, in my opinion. So absolutely love Jalen Phillips. Honestly, he's probably my favorite player on the team, if I'm being completely honest.
Wow.
Damn. That's a high praise.
From Mr. Left Armor God himself,
even over Tua. I know people are probably going to be like, what? You turned on Tua?
You're like the Tua stan, you know, pioneer.
I took a step back. Everybody's a little too crazy for me. I can't really keep up with it anymore.
Crazy? They're not crazy. What are you talking about? It's all very calm.
Everyone is super rational on Dolphins Twitter. Everybody knows that.
Everyone is extremely, extremely rational. There's nobody that's ever saying anything outlandish. No, I've never heard that before. Especially not Tua. That's crazy. Anyways, so speaking of that, it's actually a very good point to transition into. There, you know, Tyreek Hill, speaking of Dolphins, that, you know, it can be someone's favorite Dolphin. He's not my favorite Dolphin, but I do have a jersey of his, credit to my my girlfriend's family who got it for me. Shout out to them. But he loves to talk. Obviously, he had his podcast last year that he still kind of does every now and then with it's called It Needed to Be Said. And he loves to talk, especially about Tua and especially about Mike McDaniel. A lot of times some of his quotes get taken out of context. He continuously says, and I bring this up before the break, I mentioned kind of PR, and I think that it's a very, very good point to bring up with the Miami Dolphins, because, and I think I had mentioned it beforehand, it seems like everybody in the media hates Miami sports in general. They just don't like Miami sports. I don't know what we did to deserve this, but it's just all around, whether it's hockey, basketball, football, baseball, well, the Marlins suck anyways, but baseball, like whatever it is, Miami is like the anti-hero all the time, no matter what. And this Tyreek Hill, I feel like, is a very good person to have on the team. One, for how amazing he is just on the football field and how electrifying he is, but for PR purposes, because anytime that he speaks, everyone is listening no matter what. And every single time he continues to prop up, and this is the most recent quote, that per his words himself, we have one of the most accurate QBs in the NFL. And I'm sticking to my stance on that. Having Tua and the offensive guru and our head coach is wonderful. How do you feel, and I'll start with you, Josh, on, I guess, one, how much Tyreek talks to the media, because it feels like he does it quite often, and to have a guy at his caliber continuously pushing, saying, no, in the building, we have our guy. We don't have to look for another guy. This is the guy that's going to kind of lead us there.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, he's kind of like a Tua Stan a little bit, the way he's been hyping him up and being absolutely, his, you know, hype man. So it's a lot different than what we were accustomed to, you know, for Tua's first year or two throughout his career. I mean, there was so much uncertainty and a dark cloud surrounding that whole relationship there that we don't even need to get into. But, you know, I'm a little bit, I love that he says these nice things about Tua. I do think he does believe that he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football, because we all have eyes. We can all agree that he's one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football. I guess to me, just sometimes you just want him to, you know, not talk so much shit, right? I mean, there are times when you don't want that, you know, added attention or that chip on your shoulder going into those marquee matchups. I mean, the Kansas City game, I loved hearing that stuff where he said how he was going to, you know, be their worst nightmare going to Arrowhead and things like that. But there are definitely times when I guess you would rather him not be so vocal, but it's Tyreek Hill. He can do whatever he wants. I'm just stoked that he's a Miami Dolphin. Still, you know, some days you wake up and you're still a little bit surprised that he's a Miami Dolphin, right? But I do think that he does believe in Tua Tagovailoa, does believe those things he says. So anytime they put a mic in front of him, he's going to do everything he can to prop up his quarterback.
Merrick?
I'll tell you what, Josh. I kind of like when Tyreek Hill talks shit. And maybe that's the wrestler in me. And maybe that's the wrestler who wants to cut the heel promo, because you love when the fans boo you a little bit. Makes you feel good inside. But I like it. I like when Tyreek Hill, you know, comes out and tries to get people fired up. And you know what he's doing. He's got his brands he's trying to promote. Like you said, Kai, he's got the podcast. It needed to be said. And he's got the clothing line, the Soul Runner gear. And, you know, he's got the Twitch that he's trying to grow and all of that stuff. And he says he's looking at his life beyond football, his career beyond football. And he better be lying about that, because I don't want to see Tyreek Hill play for this team for 3 years and then retire when he's still in the prime of his career, when he can still
so Dolphins. That was so Dolphins.
Oh yeah.
But I hope it's not true though, because he's still toasting dudes. He's still out here reaching 24 miles an hour on the clock, you know, the speed clock there. So I want him to stick around, but I love when Tyreek Hill talks his shit, and you got to have that. You got to have that if you're going to be a championship caliber football team. You got to have that swag about you. And Tyreek Hill brought that, and it feels like it's, you know, infiltrating the rest of the locker room. It feels like some of the guys are starting to feel the same way. I mean, look at the confidence that Tua had last year compared to his first 2 years in the league playing under Brian Flores, a coach who, I mean, let's be frank, didn't like him at all. You heard stories coming out of Dolphins land about Brian Flores just undermining Tua left and right. And you know how much truth there is to those stories, we'll never know. But where there's smoke, there's fire. So I'm inclined to believe that Brian Flores was not a big fan of Tua Tagovailoa. And that kind of killed his confidence. But then you bring in a coach like Mike McDaniel, who at the very first opportunity he had immediately upon being hired as the Miami Dolphins head coach, he started gassing up his starting quarterback and instilling that confidence in him to give him, you know, the confidence to play like an all-star QB. And what did Tua do? He responded by leading the league in passer rating, leading the league in yards per completion, like being in the MVP conversation before he got injured. So, you know, to have a head coach that does that and to have a star wide receiver in Tyreek Hill who does that as well, that's invaluable. You know, fake it till you make it. And I don't even know if Tua's faking it anymore. I feel like he's feeling himself. And I think that's nothing but good things for this Miami Dolphins team.
So I'm a big believer in, and I guess, damn, I don't mean to date you guys, but, you know, obviously I'm a part of a younger generation, and I feel like my generation puts a huge emphasis on mental health a little bit more than kind of in years past. And it's kind of okay for this, you know, just to kind of not go on a huge tangent about this, but that it's kind of okay now that, you know, men can go and talk about things and kind of talk about how they feel. And it's more widely accepted than it had been in previous years.
Absolutely.
I think that mental health, and I don't, you know, some people will be like, oh, you know, Tua's just a pansy or this and this and that. And I think that that's crazy for me to even hear. But I think that that aspect plays a lot into it, because, I mean, as both of you mentioned, to have a guy like Tyreek Hill, to have your head coach, I mean, this is the end all be all of your football team. Obviously, yeah, you have the general manager and the owner and everything like that. But to have your guy be there and instilling in you and having to tell you and remind you, like, hey, you are that guy. You can be that guy. That guy is there. You can lead this team to great things. You can be everything that you want to be and everything that you've been kind of promoted to be. I mean, I've stood on my, you know, hill of saying that before. No, actually not even before. Andrew Luck was the last quarterback that I remember that they were like, man, you got to suck for luck. The next thing to that, and yeah, Trevor Lawrence, well, you know, everyone was talking about Trevor Lawrence. Everyone's been talking about the Manning son and all this other stuff. But the next guy after Andrew Luck that was touted that big, that had that many teams watching after him, was the guy that made the Alabama entire offense change. That went from being that no quarterbacks ever do good coming out of Alabama and going into the NFL to now we have Jalen Hurts. We have Tua Tagovailoa. We have Bryce Young. We have guys that are coming out. I'm not including Mac Jones at all. That's hilarious to think about. But we have these guys coming out now and doing something. I think that getting a head coach that's instilling in him that he can be that person and having a guy like Tyreek Hill is invaluable to just him. Because for whatever was said between Brian Flores and Tua and whatever, and no one will ever know, you know, besides the people in the rooms, it felt like it was more of a, no, you're going to do what I tell you to do no matter what, all the time, at all times. And the second that you make one mistake, I'm taking you out. It doesn't matter. Instead of letting him
learn. The Patriot way, right?
But it just, even in that Patriot way, it just never made sense. You're going to take a guy who was projected to be a number one pick before he hurt his hip. And who was the guy? I mean, even with Burrow, obviously probably Burrow then would have still been the number one pick that season. You could have maybe flip-flopped, who knows. But you had this guy who was just, he changed the way that Alabama played football. He changed Nick Saban's thought process on football. Coming into this, like, this is a guy that we felt like was going to be a guy. And it just seemed like his mental state and his mental health was completely down. He couldn't believe that he could be that guy again. And I think that having, you know, Tyreek and Mike McDaniel was invaluable for this because it just is going to make him feel better and actually be himself.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. And, you know, like I was saying, it's that fake it till you make it thing. And I don't think Tua is faking it anymore. I think he knows he's a good quarterback. I think last year proves that he is a good quarterback. The proof's in the pudding. He went out there, he was in that MVP conversation. And I think if, you know, he wouldn't have gotten injured, he would have rounded back into form. And, you know, maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I really don't think I am. If Tua plays in that playoff game against the Buffalo Bills, the Miami Dolphins win that game. They absolutely win that game because the talent differential between Skylar Thompson and Tua Tagovailoa is astronomical. So if they can keep Tua healthy this year, the sky really is the limit. Not the Skyler's the limit, the sky's the limit. And I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to lead the Miami Dolphins to the playoffs. And I really do think that this is the year they finally do win a playoff game for the first time since I was a sophomore in high school. And like I said, I'm about to turn 37 in 3 weeks. That's a long, long time ago.
It hurts. House, any further things you want to comment on that?
I was just going to say that, I always say DTA, don't trust anyone. And Brian Flores is definitely, you know, proof of that. I mean, we all were pretty hyped for Brian Flores at different times. But once you start to, you know, peel back the layers and hear these things, I mean, it definitely makes you, you know, a little bit disgusted. And you guys are both talking about what, you know, the mental aspect. I mean, we can't even forget the whole Deshaun Watson fiasco and just how much that probably weighed on Tua. So I'm just happy that we now have a head coach, you know, believes in him, did a cut up of what, like 700 plays or whatever it was, says that this is the perfect quarterback for his offense, built this thing basically around Tua's strengths. Now we just need to make sure he can stay healthy and go out there. And like Merrick said, he keeps saying he's 37. I'm 36. I turned 37 in January, so I'm not too far behind you. But I think you're right. If they can stay healthy, execute, continue to do the things that we saw them do a little bit last season, there's no reason why the sky is not the limit for this team. And, you know, hopefully we see Tua smiling there with Ace getting ready to go to the talking about going to Disney World one of these days.
Amen.
Why Disney World? You know, Disney in Florida, you know, is kind of clashing right now, so who knows if Disney World still even exists. You know, sometimes people like to get angry about stuff. Don't mess with the mouse, right? But anyways, like, I think that was just a good thing to bring up just because I feel every time that I go on Dolphins Twitter and I try to kind of have a conversation or see things, I feel like the way that Tyreek and Mike McDaniel have kind of been trying to get people to care about the Dolphins, even people who are in Miami or just outside of Miami, and give them a reason to just care besides, Tua got another concussion, so let's talk about how he should never play football again and go on 13 different podcasts with a doctor who's a Twitter doctor and is saying all these things. I think Mike McDaniel, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, how often have we seen, and it might not be directly with the Dolphins, but where Jalen Ramsey is going to Heat games, going to all these things and promoting them and being a fan and just kind of being where now I feel like there's a different sense of maybe not culture, but Dolphins players where they're coming here and they're going, oh, wow, it's okay to like things in Miami. Like I can go support these other teams. And you might get a guy who is a huge Heat fan or a girl or anybody who's a huge Heat fan. You can get someone who's a huge Heat fan, huge Panthers fan, who might not really be into, you know, football that much. But it could have that one impact where, like, damn, Jalen Ramsey, Mike McDaniel, Christian Wilkins are here at a Miami Heat game. They're supporting us. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll catch a Dolphins game and see how it is. And that could be the Dolphins game that they play really, really well. And there you go. You have a new fan. You have someone who maybe wasn't watching football before that now is watching again. I just think that, obviously, what you do on the field is very, very important, but I feel like PR and how you promote yourself just within the city and outside the city is extremely important. I think that that is something that will get you better recognition outside of your own building, basically.
I agree.
Anyone else has any final comments on
that? Sometimes that's half the reason I'm watching these games, right? To see Mike McDaniel banging the drum at the beginning of the game, you know, seeing Jalen Ramsey and, you know, ex court side or whatever it is. So yeah, I agree with you, Kai. And I do think you can say it's a little bit of a culture change. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This Miami Dolphins team has a whole different type of swagger, a whole different type of, you know, the way they go about things now that Mike McDaniel's in house than, like Merrick said earlier, the Patriot way with Brian Flores or any of those other coaches beforehand. I mean, it just seems a lot different with Mike McDaniel. And, well, we just got to hope that this is that, you know, young Don Shula, right? Isn't that what Stephen Ross wanted when he brought in Adam Gase? You know, that young head coach that he's going to have around here for the next 2 decades or whatever. I hope that Mike McDaniel continues to do what we saw in his rookie season, and we don't have to worry about a head coach, just like the Heat. You know, they don't have to worry about a head coach. How long has Eric Spoelstra been there? They have no need to look at the head coaches. I want Mike McDaniel to succeed. I want this Dolphins team to succeed, and I think we deserve it.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Amen.
We're getting out here. We're rounding off and kind of ending everything off. I feel like some good conversations for our first episode. Obviously, we're going to get into some things in future episodes here in this month of June. We want to talk about fantasy football with the Dolphins and kind of where you should be drafting your players and kind of how we believe. Because I know Dolphins fans, we like to prop up our own players. I did that a lot last year with Tyreek Hill, but it kind of paid off. And then in Dynasty, as I mentioned to these two guys, I ended up trading him for the first pick of the rookie draft. But we'll get into that in a completely different episode. Is there anything else that you guys would like to say before we round it off here?
Yeah, man. I just want to say go Heat, right? We got the NBA Finals starting on Thursday.
Go Heat, go Panthers. Nuggets.
Yeah, go Heat, go Panthers. Heat, they're going to be underdogs in this series against the Nuggets, right? I mean, Jokic, he's just a phenomenal player. Yep. They're going to have to play their asses off. But what else is new for the Heat? They've been underdogs in every series they've played in the NBA playoffs so far. What did ESPN give them? A 3% chance to beat the Celtics?
Yeah.
I can't even finish the sentence because it's so comical right now. Like legit, like that the person who figured that out, the analytics department, that dude, he better be on LinkedIn.
Analytics.
It was cheeks.
Oh yeah.
But let's go Heat. Let's go Panthers and let's go Dolphins, baby. I mean, we're still roughly 4 months away from meaningful football games, but it's always NFL season around these parts.
Always.
Fins up. That's all I can add to that. Fins up, baby.
Yeah, go Heat, go Panthers. I was thinking about going to a Stanley Cup Finals game if I could try to get some tickets, but I went to 2 Panthers games. They were both game 4s, and we lost both of them. So I am
gotta stay away.
Myself. Yep. Last night, I didn't watch the Heat game until the final minute because as soon as I turned it on, Derek White hit 2 threes in a row, and at that point, I said, you know what? I'm turning this off. I have officially deemed myself a jinx, so I'm not going to any Panthers games. I'm not going to watch Heat games for a little bit, but I'll be following it obviously as a fan. We'll be back next week. You guys will be able to listen to us and we'll have some more things to talk about and some interesting stuff to dive into. For myself, Merrick and Joshua, I interchange between Josh House and Joshua, but I prefer to call him Joshua. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you guys on next week. See ya.
Thanks, guys. Fins up.
Fins up. Go Heat. Go Panthers.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.